A man is accused of murdering a Bridgeport firefighter over the weekend. He is expected in court later today. Police responded to Feely Street Saturday in the overnight hours and found 41-year-old Terrence Kramer suffering from a gunshot wound. And he succumbed to his injuries. And we learned on Sunday from Bridgeport's fire department that he was a member of the department for more than 9 years. I want to thank Chief Lance Edwards for being willing to come on literally hours after this news has broken. And there's so much to process. There's so much pain in this. Chief Edwards, I really appreciate you. And I am so sorry for your loss and the department's loss.
Oh, thank you for your words. I appreciate it, Melissa.
Tell us about Terrence. I mean, I've seen pictures of him. I saw some of the words that you and the department shared on social media. But from your perspective, I think what I love most about you, and I've loved this about you even before you became Chief Lance, is that you have this personal connection to all members of your department, no matter what your ranking is. And so you're the perfect person, not just because you're chief, but to talk about somebody like this, because he seems like a very valuable member of your team.
He was, and he truly, first of all, I want to let the members and the listeners know, Terrence was born and raised in Bridgeport, so he was part of the fabric. Truly, truly loved representing the Bridgeport Fire Department. Extremely caring, loved his job, and did it with a lot of pride. We always talk about how important it is to represent the department and wear the patch on your left sleeve with a lot of pride. And he took a lot of ownership. And he's certainly going to be missed because he was one of those steadfast guys that showed up to work every day. And you never heard anybody say anything bad, negative about Terrence. Truly, again, loved serving the East Side. He spent most of his career at the Central Avenue Fire Station. And somewhere early in his career, he felt a connection there and felt very, very comfortable at home. And that particular station, there's a close-knit group of firefighters there. And I'm sure during these times, they'll be looking out for each other.
What was his personality sort of like in his, you know, again, obviously he was dedicated to Bridgeport, being a Bridgeport native himself, but what was he like, you know, on the job and even off the clock, and how did that benefit the fire department in the 9.5 years he served?
Well, he was very quiet. So myself on the third floor, we always talk about that. There's a handful of members that we have that we rarely see once they get hired, because we have 8 stations. We have 300 members. So there are times when you can go months, literally a year without seeing someone. Wow. And Terrence Kramer was one of those names because he stayed out of the fray, came to work, did his job, and spent valuable time with his friends and family. I do know he was a huge sports advocate. If you look on social media, there's a lot of pictures of him representing different sports teams. But at work, you can certainly depend on him to come to work and do his job, but very low-key and professional.
Were there any, I mean, because obviously whenever there's a tremendous, and if such a sudden loss, he's 41, young
yes.
guy.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. When you have a loss like this, or anything, obviously, you start to hear some of the stories. Have you heard any stories about him on the job that stood out to other members, or things that are coming up a lot about him in the hours following his passing? Anything to share?
Not at this point. I think as time goes on, we will. I think a lot of people are still in shock.
Mm.
So we had EAP in the firehouse yesterday. So I think as time goes on, we'll certainly start to hear those types of stories. But I think a lot of people are still trying to process the loss of Terrence. It's unfortunate. We're accustomed to getting phone calls early in the morning and dealing with emergencies. But these types of calls are very, very difficult to deal with. And I will say this, we're very fortunate to have careers that we truly love what we do. And but ultimately, we do what we do to provide for our friends and family. So for the listeners, if you could keep Terrence's family in your thoughts. We'd appreciate it.
Was he a father?
Yes, he was a father, and two young boys, I believe, 10
oh
and 8
God.
Years old. Yeah, so exactly. That makes it even more difficult to fathom and to swallow. It's not just the loss of a member who will truly be missed, but, you know, what he left behind. So, yeah, it's a tragic, tragic loss.
Oh, it's so devastating. How do you, Chief Edwards, rally around your departments? As you mentioned, you've got a lot of different departments. You have a lot of firefighters, and everybody grieves differently. How do you address something like this where, again, you might have people who kind of retreat inwards, or you have ones that will use humor to mask what their pain is, or some that will lash out? I mean, everybody responds differently, but how, in the face of a tragedy like this, do you, I guess, rally or support, you know, and certainly try to avoid, you know, something even at the level of like a PTSD? How do you best support your department at this time?
I think it's the best way to support the membership is, A, you're going to have people that are going to grieve differently, and some people are going to need time off, and you have to be able to accommodate that. And also to give them different resources and different avenues to at least grieve, because we have EAP, which is one thing, and that's a citywide contract that we have with an outside agency, but we also have an internal peer support group. So for those that feel more comfortable speaking to someone that's a firefighter in a department, and we also work very closely outside a department, if you want to speak to a peer support member, say, from New Haven, from Waterbury, from Fairfield, Stratford, those resources are available too. So not just EAP, because a lot of people feel much more comfortable speaking to someone who does what they do. And they could probably sometimes be a little bit more compassionate and put themselves in their shoes dealing with these types of losses.
Okay, don't make fun of me, Lance. What is EAP? Because I know you've said it a few times. What is that?
The Employee Assistance Program.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
No, why? Why are you sorry? No, it's me. I'm just like, I'm going to ask it. I'm sure all my listeners knew exactly what you were talking about. I did not. Okay, so that's something that is in place. And I would imagine, you know, again, I know that there are, you know, in the past when there have been horrible tragedies, I just remember when the Stanford situation happened where firefighters were responding to the Christmas Eve fire. And they had different therapies that were kind of set up for them, you know, because you're reacting to that. Is that something, like you were saying, that goes beyond even the EAP and something that, okay.
That is correct. So, and that's one of the reasons why peer support is so important. Mm-hmm. We certainly support our members that are involved in peer support, because we understand during times like this, our members need someone to talk to. They need an outlet. They need a resource. And usually they're much more comfortable talking to someone who wears a patch, if not the same patch.
Mm-hmm. And how are you holding up? Because you have to kind of be the papa bear sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm holding up as best as I could. As I mentioned, the phone call was not an easy one. Mm-hmm. We get trained to deal with a lot of emergencies and losses, but to lose a member in this fashion is different.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, we understand in this profession, when you start off with a group of, say, 20 firefighters, not everyone is going to make it through a 25, 30-year career just because of life. Things happen, illnesses. But they certainly don't prepare you for someone who was taken from us so tragically.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I'm just dealing with it day by day. And I have to say this, Melissa, the outpouring of support from local fire chiefs, city administrators, our fire commissioners and council members, the outpouring of compassion and support has been incredible. I want to thank all of them, because they have certainly, that I've received, I can't tell you how many phone calls, emails, text messages, just making sure we're okay and offering assistance. So it was nice to see that.
That is, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, you deserve all the support right now. I mean, you should always have support, but certainly mm-hmm. in such a tragedy like this, I know I'll be praying for all of you guys. I have been since we learned about the news, but certainly praying for everybody at the department, you know, your leadership,
Thank
obviously,
you.
And kind of going through this. If there's Thank anything, you. Obviously, once, you know, he and his family, once that's all, you know, memorial and everything, if there's anything that we can do, if there's any kind of, and again, I know we're very early on in this and still even just watching this investigation totally separate unfold, but if there's anything that we can do on WICC to support this firefighter's family, any fundraising efforts, if there's anything that comes about, please keep us in the know. We want to help.
Oh, absolutely. I'll make sure if something does come up, Shauna will be in contact and we'll make sure that we're able
Great.
To get you the information so your listeners can certainly assist.
Yeah, especially for his two little boys. I just know, you know, when you watch like what happened in Bristol and you know, to try and support that, the widow and their children, you know, if there's something that comes up, please let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Chief Edwards. We appreciate
you.
Thank you so much. All right. We're going
to
talk to you again really soon. And again, so sorry for your loss and the department's loss. We will certainly, on the other side of this, follow the investigation, what led up to what happened, the person suspected of killing Terrence Kramer going to be in court later today. And we are absolutely going to follow that case very closely for you.